brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Nope. We moved up to the 11 o'clock time slot to beat the news.
Otherwise, hee-haw would really take us out.
Honestly, I'd rather watch static than the news. I mean,
that's what I realized. Our theme music needs more banjo and more cowbell, too.
Cowbell, bring on the cowbell.
If I was you, I would be a little nervous if I heard banjo.
Yeah.
You hear
I married a nice southern girl.
Boy, you hear banjo. If I was you, I'd start paddling hard.
Paddle faster. I hear banjos.
You sure got a pretty mouth.
Squeal like a pig for me. Okay, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Excited to be here for another great day in the basement.
Good old boy, Jessen.
Good morning. Hoo-ah.
And Mr. Deliverance, Harm.
I'm happy to be here. Please don't make me squeal like a pig. I'll be your friend.
Oh, he will be our friend when we're done.
He does have a pretty mouth.
That's purdy, not pretty. It's purdy.
Purdy mouth.
And Ned Beatty. Okay. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and whiskey, and pretty much anything you can drink. So here are the whiskeys we're going to be tasting today.
When's the last time we did a tea show? On the web only, right?
You've never done one because you haven't been invited.
I want to do some rum and tequila shows.
Nobody cares what you want to do.
Oh, you're going to kill me.
So the first whiskey we have is the Yoichi non-peated single malt. We have the Miyagikyo peated single malt. We have Jefferson's straight rye whiskey finished in cognac casks. We have Doc Swinson's Alter Ego rye rum Solera cask finish. Doc Swinson's Alter Ego triple cask bourbon. Doc Swinson's 15-year Kentucky straight bourbon. We have the Old Forester 117 Series 1910 Extra Old. And we have the Heaven Hill Heritage Collection 17-year-old barrel proof Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. That's a long name.
Wow.
Yep.
Hoo-ah.
It is. Hoo-ah. All right. So we're going to mix it up, and we're going to have Brent do our sips for us.
I'm just going to do a straight up sips rating. So
you're not going to put on some weird voice that doesn't sound like the voice you're supposed to be putting on?
It's exactly like that.
Okay. I resemble that remark.
I feel like whatever Brent uses is just a made up voice.
Right. Okay. This is Brent doing Justin doing the voice of Sean Connery?
Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, Elmer Fudd. This is Justin's Elmer Fudd as done by Brent. Go ahead.
When sip. Yeah. Give me a glass of water and wash out my mouth.
There you go.
No, please stop doing it now.
That's awesome.
We can't do five of these.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Two right, sips.
New character.
Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was that again?
Interesting.
All right. Justin doing Ronald Reagan.
Nancy and I have been down in a basement.
If you want to do this, but you know, there's five of us. We should each do one sip a piece next time.
Well, too late now.
No. Keep going, Brad.
Four sips. Let's keep this a secret to ourselves. Nancy, pour me another.
Nancy, Gonzo. Well, to the wine cellar.
And then Harm's favorite. Five sips. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
No, you could sex you with that, Brent. Come on. Yeah. Send a shiver up my spine.
Harm's not getting excited on this one.
The things he's never heard in life.
I didn't know pastrami did that to a woman.
Wrong pastrami.
It was a truckload of pastrami and you backed over, or that doesn't count. All right, so we're going to have Justin tell us about our first whiskey today.
So today we're going to talk about Nico Willing Distillery Company.
Nico Willing Distilling Company?
Whiskey?
Whiskey. W-H-I-S-K-Y.
Someone's here. Not been spitting so here much as you. Drinking.
You, that's how you say
take,
it.
Take my glasses here.
Uh-huh.
Jeez.
Was founded by Masataka Taketsuru, developed the father of the Japanese whiskey industry.
Produced okay, that sentence makes no sense, and we know who wrote that. Bob, don't flick.
First produced in 19...
There's a bird in here.
First produced in 1940, Nika Whiskey continues the legacy set forth by Taketsuru. Guided by his philosophies, variations of malt whiskey distilled at Nika's two distinct distilleries, Yoichi and Miyagikyo. Yeah, what they said.
Yeah.
And grain whiskeys distilled in coffee stills remain the core pillars of Nika's complexity and creativity. The Nika Discovery Series will be releasing distinctive limited editions over the next 3 years in anticipation of Nika Whiskey's 90th anniversary in 2024.
By the way, Masataka Taketsuru was the guy who started Suntory's Yamazaki. He was hired by them to start Yamazaki, and then 10 years later, he started this.
Hi.
So he is literally the founder,
the godfather
of whiskey in Japan. He moved to Scotland to learn how to make whiskey. Lived there for several years. Married a Scottish woman before he came back.
Got his PhD and took a redhead home. Yep.
And then makes it better than some people over there.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
The Japanese have rescued a lot of Scotch distilleries too. There's some great whiskeys that the Japanese own in Scotland.
Japanese have taken many, many arts from around the world and perfected them. And this is no exception. The first release is the Yoichi non-peated single malt. It's 40% alcohol by volume.
It's literally 47.
47. Somebody needs to go.
New glasses, yeah. Man. New glasses.
Yeah.
He's been drinking.
Lens crafters, buddy. There's a free commercial. Yeah.
This release is comprised solely of unpeated malts as opposed to the usual peaty profile of the regular Yoichi single malt. The color was yeller.
Yeller.
Actually wrote it that way. On the nose, pears, apples, and some spice. On the palate, pears, apples, plums, raisins. Not complex, but very pleasant. And the finish was light, starts complex, and gets less complex. Maury, what did you think?
I think you were spot on. I like this whiskey a lot. I think it's very approachable. It's got a lot of finesse and style. It's not heavy-handed. It sort of dances on your palate. It's got a lot of the flavors that you describe. I thought the finish was pleasant, medium in length. I have nothing but good things to say about this whiskey. It's just really, really nice, really approachable. And for somebody who's not a Japanese whiskey aficionado, this is a perfect place to start.
Yeah, this is fruity and pepper is what I wrote for both the nose and the palate.
Fruity pebbles?
Fruity and pepper. But on the only thing that I have different with you guys is that on the finish, I got a little bit of bitterness at the end after everything kind of finished off.
Well, that's because you're sitting next to Harm.
Oh, yeah.
I can. Don't let that taint your review.
I understand.
Yeah. Move over to this side of the table and it'll be much better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rise to the bait. Screw you guys.
Oh, you rose.
Right. Fine. That was the last episode he rose.
You went on?
I'm just saying, look, green apples, apricots, pears, a little bit of oat cake, some citrus on the nose. The palate is just like apples and pears and a little white pepper. Almost like a hint of cake batter at the beginning when I first poured it, but that's blown off. That's a long finish. Until Justin said raisins, I wasn't getting it, but I think that is kind of a raisiny note as well on the finish, and it's fairly long.
That might be that little bitterness that I'm getting in the raisin note at the end.
Yeah. A little bitter melon action going on at the very, very end.
So Yoichi is the northernmost distillery from Nika, and it's usually the one that tastes most like scotch. They use coal-fired stills, and that's where some of the smoke comes from, but there's no peat here at all. They didn't use any peat. Then I don't really taste that coal fire on here. There's just a hint, just a wisp, maybe a wisp of smoke. I'm not sure.
Nope.
It's all fruity.
None.
Fruity
no,
and
no
fruity
smoke.
And, it's purdy and furdy.
No smoke.
Fruity and purdy.
But it's delicate and well, it's, yeah, it's not heavy handed. It's very perfect,
typical Japanese style whiskey. It is light. It is esoteric, and it has 4,000 layers to it. I mean, it's extremely well made. I was
thinking it's about 3,897 layers, but you're close.
Yeah, well, somebody
just missed the other yeah. three.
The other thing about
forgive that
Nika, they don't use they don't use what's that Japanese oak? Mizunara oak. They don't use Mizunara. They only use American and French oak barrels.
So. Well, nobody uses Mizunara unless they put it on the label because it's bloody expensive.
Oh, Yamazaki yeah. still uses Mizunara.
But they're specific releases.
Yeah, and they right. yeah, and they put it on the label that they're doing. And most don't because it's I mean, it's literally like one forest that it comes from. And I think the emperor owns a damn
leaky
thing.
Leaky as heck.
Yeah. And it's real pain in the butt to work with. So, but it gives it that
distinct taste,
that very distinct sandalwood flavor. But
this is not there, that's fine. That's fine.
No, this is lovely. This is, I mean, we've had Yoichi before, but not this expression. We've had the tip, you know, the standard Yoichi, and this is lovely.
And Yoichi's not super peaty. The regular standard Yoichi is not super peaty.
No,
I had a Hakushu the other day from somebody brought me back from Holland. There's a special edition we don't get in this country. That's a peaty Japanese whiskey.
Yeah, it's, you know, you don't get, there's very, very few that I would call peaty, you know. I mean, some have a little hint, but most of them are fairly light. But yeah, this is absolutely a really lovely expression, extremely well made, which you're going to get from Nika. You know, really nice. It's just.
There's a reason they named a whiskey after this guy.
Yeah.
The blend of Miyagikyo and Yoichi together is called Takatsuru.
Mm. Yeah, it's just sweet and it's floral and it's just really, really well done. So we're going to be giving the Yoichi non-peated single malt a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
I hope we can get this soon. It's not. I've not seen this. I want this.
Well, I think you should get it.
Well,
we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished discussing the Yoichi non-peated single malt Japanese whiskey. We gave that a well-deserved 4 sips. And we're on to our next one from Nika. So we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. The second release from the Discovery Series is the Miyagikyo Peated Single Malt, 48% ABV. I just did exactly what
Justin did. Dog pile on him right now. Just
do
dog pile
on him. Do not emulate me, son.
That's 48%. 48% ABV, or it's 96 proof. This release is crafted slowly from batches of peated malts composed of the typical Miyagikyo, opposed to the typical Miyagikyo style, whatever. Yeah.
See, he can't read it.
I can't read and do a southern accent because my brain goes.
He's far too important to actually read it.
Harm, you're making me look good, and that's hard.
It's really hard. There are filters for that.
This is a family show. This is a family show. Try to keep it clean.
All right. So, this is a beautiful deep gold. Miyagikyo traditionally is the southern distillery from Nika, and it has a more floral, more fruity character, usually the unpeated one. And this is very different. It's a deep gold. On the nose, I'm getting light wood smoke, but baked peaches. I got fruit first. I got the baked peaches, pears, and honey, and a little floral note, which I'm not quite sure what it is. The palate, it's just wonderful fruit. Let me try some more. Wonderful fruit, mouth coating, very rich. There's a rich smoke retronasally. There's a floral component coming out. Give me more. Brent, tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I wanted to say Field of Daisies when you say a floral note because it reminds me of daisies. They're kind of, they're like a weed, mm-hmm. but they are florally, you know, and that's kind of what this is to me. To me, it just wasn't registering for me with the smoke and the fruitiness and the, and everything together.
It's not your style.
It's not my style. It just wasn't working for me. Right. And that's okay because
there are so many other defects in your soul. I'll overlook this one.
You know, right. So exactly. You know, there are just a few less defects than yours, but I mean, the. You know.
He's broken deep.
Show me. It takes Indian parents to break you as deeply as I've been broken.
But I'm glad I get to try this like this because this is somebody that follows my palate and thinks they know they're not going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
You know, and that's but this is made for somebody and so these people are going to like it.
If you were at my house and I had this there, I would not pour this for you. I'd pour you something else. You
right. Know, exactly. Like a scotch. I know.
Why would you be so nice as to pour him something else? If he doesn't like it.
Because it would be a scotch. That's
why. If he doesn't like it, too bad. Go thirsty.
I do have a couple bourbons at the house now, thank you. Oh. Just a couple. I've been hanging out with the wrong crowd.
You're stooping.
I'm hanging out with the wrong crowd.
When I look at Harm, all I can think is...
It's not you, it's me. No, actually, it's not me. It is you.
Mm-hmm.
What is that from?
I'm not telling you.
Oh. I will Google it.
Well, as much as I hate to agree with Harm, I happen to think this is a lovely whiskey. I think the smoke is very nicely balanced and integrated. It's got a lovely floral nose. I thought there was a little sherry on the nose when I first started. And then as it opened up and it got some air, the smoky notes became slightly more prominent. But I really like this whiskey. I thought it was very well made. It's definitely in the house style. And you can tell that it's related to the Yoichi. I think it's a beautiful whiskey.
The smoke is not overpowering in this.
No, it's much better integrated.
I mean, it blends, you know, it blends well, but it's not the kind of blending that I want in my smoke. It doesn't match the flavors that I want when
I have a smoky. It doesn't have the salinity of like a, say, an Islay whiskey or an Island whiskey from Scotland. It's got that smoke. There's no saltiness here. It's about sweet.
But it doesn't pretend to be that.
No, it's not.
I'm not saying it is. Right. You know, Justin?
So open this, go prepare your dinner, cook it halfway through, then start drinking it because it starts off closed, muted, and then it gets pretty nice. But yeah, just skip it 45 minutes. Don't have any of it.
Actually, this was the last whiskey I tasted today because it was peated and everything.
Yeah, you did it right.
So I waited till the last one. So
I had the second one second because I'm insane.
Yeah, I followed.
It needed more.
Yeah, I did the same thing. So
it's good.
And I was so much looking forward to some other ones that it's kind of like,
yeah. Let's get past this stuff.
Let's get past this one.
Bob, what'd you think? You got a rating for us, or you want to chime in?
All right. Just say the right thing. Say the thing I want you to say.
Yeah, exactly. again, typical Nika whiskey, extremely well made. Beautiful, very balanced, lots and lots of layers to it. And when they say Miyagiko peated single malt, it's not peated like most people think peated. This is not a Laphroaig. This is not an Ardbeg. This is not a Lagavulin. The peat is extremely light on this. I mean,
so I would give it like a Bruichladdich type of peat.
Yeah. Which is hardly peated, you know. I mean, it's very, very light. There's just a little bit of smoke there. It's not much, but you know, a delicious whiskey. It's got a great mouthfeel to it.
Mm. Turn your phone off, Brent.
I turned it off. I don't know why those are notifications.
Broker. Yeah, just the peach, the honey. You don't really get the smoke on the nose. You get it on the exhale on the palate.
Retronasal.
Just say the right thing. Say the thing I want you to say.
Yeah, we've had enough of you.
Retronasal.
You can't even spell retronasal. All right. You get it on the exhale. It's not really on the nose, but it, you know, beautiful whiskey. Very, very Nika in style. It's interesting to taste these two side by side because they're actually reversed from their normal styles. One is usually peated and one is not. So they're going the opposite way. And I like them both the old way and the new way just as much. Both of them were very, very well done. So we're going to be giving the Miyagikyo peated single malt 4 sips.
I'm so happy that you're not frightened of change, Bob.
I think the other thing to point out about the Nikko whiskeys is that they use a lot of coffee stills, which is decidedly different from Scotland, where they're using exclusively pot stills.
Well, no, they're not Ness. I mean, they use it in their blends, but not for this.
They mark their coffee still products as coffee still.
Yeah.
And they make blended whiskeys that are a blend of coffee and pot, but this would be pot, I believe.
Yeah, this is pot.
Okay.
Yeah, they do one called Nikko coffee still, which is just
a coffee grain and a coffee malt.
Yeah. So it's and both of them are excellent. I mean, it's like everything from Nika. It's very well made. So all right, so let's move on to our next whiskey, and we're gonna have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This is a Jefferson straight rye whiskey. It's finished in cognac cask, 47% ABV, 94 proof. Jefferson is a brand that we have a lot of experience with on the show. For this expression, Jefferson starts with a Kentucky-sourced, fully matured rye whiskey, which is then finished for at least 9 months and up to 19 months in ex-cognac casks to add a complexity and depth to the rye whiskey. So let me just tell you right off the bat, I love their rye whiskeys and stuff, and so I have a certain expectancy of when I do get something, I get them in a cask finish like this. So the color is a nice dark, nice copper color that we like to have, that you would expect. On the nose, that's where all my expectations go away, because it's cinnamon and honey, a little bit of peaches, apricots. It's kind of fruity. I lose all of my rye notes that I really love
cinnamon
for a rye.
Cinnamon is a good rye note.
A baking spice is a good rye note. You know, it's
cinnamon's baking spice. Just
you don't get a hint of dill on the nose, just a hint. Just if there's some herbal component there.
Just a little bit of a dill, you know. But on the palate, I get it's fruit. It's a nice full body mouthfeel, but I get all this fruit on the palate, and I just kind of feel like the cognac has kind of overpowered the rye on this. So I don't have all those rye components that I feel like are where the cask, you know, helps it and, you know, and brings out the rye and brings out the cognac. I feel this one kind of was overpowered by the cognac.
I think it's unbalanced.
I think it's unbalanced.
Well, I don't know if it's the cognac, but for me, the palate is very floral and perfumey. And I really feel like those flavors overpower the rye flavors a lot.
And you get floral rye too, guys. I'm just saying that
it's not a rye. It's a cognac. I'm just saying it's very floral and perfumey.
I just wonder if they went too long.
Cognac tends to bring some floral notes, like jasmine. It'll bring apricot. It'll bring cinnamon. And I think that plays perfectly with the rye, because the ryes I like are already floral. You got the orange peel with the rye that I like.
I've always said you're in touch with your feminine side,
but there's there's no orange peel rye in this in the flavor. There's,
on the palate, I get orange.
You get an orange peel palate on the rye. I mean,
there's orange peel and peach, honey. It's full bodied. It's got enough tannin to make it dry.
I hate to agree with Harm, but I do.
I freaking love this whiskey. I want to marry this whiskey. Bring it to bathe.
That's what your wife says too.
Bathe her
marry
and bring
the
her
whiskey
to me.
And you know, it's. I just, for me, it's not the balance that works. And there's a lot of ryes out there that have a finish like that. Then you can definitely taste the rye in there, and you can taste the finish.
I think some of the most popular rye out there with the finishes are just overly sweet. Like the most, I think Angel's Envy is on the. I know you love that stuff. That's a port wine finish.
Right.
I think that goes very sweet too, and I think that works with the rye, right?
It works with the rye very much.
I think this works with the rye too. You just don't like cognac as much as I do.
I don't think there's enough spice on this for Brent. Brent there's likes no a good spice. Spicy right.
spirit. There's really perfect spice. Muted baking spices on the finish.
The spice has been way overpowered for me. That's the main thing.
He wants it bold.
And Bob's not even chiming in. Bob's just looking at us.
No, because And that's okay. I mean,
every day.
If you want a sweet, I mean, if you want something sweet like this, I mean, why use a rye this nice, this bold and spicy? And it's kind of like you've taken away that boldness and the spiciness.
They wanted the dryness to balance out the cognac, which tends to have an oily feel.
Cognac can be too sweet.
Yeah. If you put a sticky sweet bourbon in it, it would be cloying. You wouldn't want it'd be
there. I just think
that'd be the Heaven Hill Select Stock, which is tasty as all get out, and that is like perfect for you. But this
sweet for me
doesn't hit the mark for you,
right?
But it was what they were going for,
right? Oh, I mean, right, exactly.
He's broken inside, so
yeah. So am I. But
I mean, how you don't get the dill in this? I mean.
Yeah.
If you get just the tip of your nose in a glass and give it a good inhale right in the tip of your nose,
like my wife.
It's so like smelling a jar of pickles.
Spicy enough.
Yeah, it's a straight up MGP.
Yeah, there's a huge dill. Mm. Huge dill at the very tip of
the nose. I don't get the huge dill.
It's not
huge.
Like a 7-8 year MGP.
It's popping for me right now.
It's not MGP. This is Kentucky.
Smells like an MGP.
It's not MGP.
That dill note's
That dill note is that dill note. Wasn't there at the beginning. It came out with air.
Oh, true.
And it's true. I think it's subtle compared to
No, it's not MGP's because it's Kentucky source. So
let me add some water.
But it could easily be 95.5.
Okay, let's do this. Add some water to this discussion.
Maybe that's where I got it wrong.
You have a squeeze bottle that you're like hogging, but pour it out of your water bottle.
With the water, you get a little bit more of that dill note. Let's taste it on the palate after adding water.
I get a hint of spearmint, too. I get a hint of spearmint. Right on the finish.
No double mint?
You know what? As long as it's not juicy fruit, I'm good.
No double bubble? No bubble yum?
It changed it, but
no bazooka?
Not changing it to like I wanted it's to, not gonna to fix change. It for yeah. you. Right, exactly.
The water didn't fix it.
No.
It doesn't need to be fixed.
Favorite notes.
Maury, what does not need to be fixed? It's you need to be fixed, Maury.
It's very floral, and I stand by that. Perfume and floral, and
it's beautiful. Yeah,
it's going to appeal to some people. It just
for some people out there, this is going to be great for them, and they have to know that. They have to know, like, listen, if you want something that's brown, to drink it down. Yeah, you know, if you want something that's a rye,
we got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. So this is not going to appeal to those people that want a little bit of finish on their rye. But if you want to change your whole rye completely,
well, it's got a finish. It definitely has a finish on it. It goes for a while. Honestly, I mean, I think it's one of the better cast finishes that Jefferson's has done. But would I
love the Pritchard Hill, and I love this.
But you know, they used to put out a 10-year rye. That was fantastic, you know, and that was a true rye, and that one was amazing. This is just different. That's all,
And that's it. Just different. I mean, and it's for somebody that wants that.
We've got five more whiskeys after this, and we're still arguing.
They have such a history. Okay, we'll finish up this. Well, and they're just doing.
We'll finish this. That's fine.
We're going to rate the Jefferson's straight rye whiskey finish in cognac cask 4 sips.
Thank you.
That's classified.
I'm sure it's under protest from that side of the table.
It is under protest.
We should do 4, 5, and 6 together.
All right, so Maury's going to tell us about our next whiskeys.
Okay. The next whiskey is the Doc Swinson's Alter Ego Rye Rum Solera Cask Finish, 47.5% ABV or 95 proof. This expression is made with two different American rye whiskeys that are blended together and then finished in a Solera system using ex-rum barrels from Trinidad, Venezuela, and Jamaica. The blend starts as two different rye whiskeys from MGP, a 95% rye, 5% malted barley mash bill, and a 51% rye, 4% malted barley, 45% corn mash bill, both being 5+ years old. Blended together, then diluted from its original cask strength of 120 to 130 before being added. 103. Yep. Being added into the top row of the Solera. After a pull for bottling is made, the whiskey is proofed down to bottle strength and rested before bottling. So the color is a pale copper. I find the nose to be relatively uninspiring and uninteresting. I almost get a little bit of a diesel or petroleum on the nose.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Sitting in my old members only jacket. You know, you got that. You got that kind
There's
of that leather diesel.
Than that.
Got that
Come
kind
on.
Of leather diesel.
Yeah, I get that kind of view.
Did you guys pour the right whiskey?
Yeah.
Smell it now.
I don't smell any diesel.
I'm getting dill and orange peel and spearmint.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell are you getting diesel?
I got musty, dusty perfume.
Somebody didn't wash their glass out before the last show.
Oh yeah, right.
You need to clean your glass.
Go on. It's got a nice mouthfeel. It's pleasant. There's nothing offensive about it. It just, I find it to be relatively one note, not particularly complex, has a short finish. It just, I found it to be uninspiring. Justin?
I think that it's very hard to execute a Solera process spirit well. I think the whole process itself might be
flawed.
Tell
that to everybody in the Caribbean doing rum or South or Central America.
Well, but they tried, and it's not horrible.
All right, so we're going to end on that note. All right, well, we're running short on time, and we've got a lot more whiskeys to go. So we're going to be rating the Doc Swinson's Alter Ego Rye Rum Cask Solera Finish, two sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
So let's move on to our next whiskey, which is the Doc Swinson's Alter Ego Triple Cask Bourbon. It's 47.9% ABV, 95.8 proof. For this expression, they use they take MGP bourbon, at least 5 years old, and finish it in a mix of Oloroso Sherry, Pedro Jimenez, and Cognac casks from a number of curated producers. These finished bourbons are then blended and married in ex-cognac folders prior to bottling. So it's got a nice...
What's the volume of a folder?
There's no set volume. It's just
it's an upright barrel made of wood.
It's a big vat for that they use
in cognac. Big old vat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like probably like 330 liters, probably.
Yeah, this is like a white, white copper. On the nose, I pick up some raisin on it, a little bit of caramel.
Didn't get walnut.
A little bit of brown sugar.
I got walnut right away.
Yeah, I get a little bit of the bitter skin on a walnut. We'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we have been discussing the Doc Swinson's Alter Ego Triple Cask Bourbon. So, on the palate, let's see.
And during the break, we discovered a footer is 600 liters. They're different sizes. Mm. So,
on the palate, sweet, a little bit of caramel, a little bit of brown sugar. Fairly one note. The one thing that I do note is there's three different casks used in this. I don't know what they were going for, but I can't really identify any of the individual casks in this. I don't really taste the Oloroso. I don't really taste the typical raisiny PNX.
No PX. I don't smell.
Well, I get it on the nose. I can get the raisin on the nose.
I didn't
get
it
on
smell the palate. It even.
And
the nuttiness.
I mean, maybe I'm picking up on the cognac on the sweetness on that.
Marcos is cognac.
You know. Well, that's Brent. He's called
Mac. I call him Mac.
That's your stage name?
Yeah. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, it's just a blend of sweetnesses. Mm-hmm. It's a blend of sweetness that didn't work for me. It was nothing, no one cask stands out. And the bourbon doesn't stand out. So you've got four things that go together. So I think this is what I'm going to say is a geek whiskey. And, you know, this is going to be for, you know, the geek whiskey person is going to kind of want this.
I don't even think that. I think
I think I think he's right in that people will want this based on the fact that it's, you know, all these different casks that are put together, and it's interesting for its story. It's interesting for its composition. And I think that what Brent's sort of trying to say is the palate doesn't really match the geekiness of the
expression. Yeah, it's not something you're, you know, there's, you know, the, each individually finished, I think, works for itself, but all three blended together, nothing stands out for me. It just kind of all muddles.
You didn't taste the individual components. I don't. Yeah.
It's all kind of muddled.
How old were these barrels that they used? Were they dry?
You can't even identify the individual components.
No, I'm guessing that these barrels were deconstructed and put back together, and they were dry. Well, there's not enough wine flavor coming through.
Well, in the interest of time, we're going to move on. So we're going to give the Doc Swenson's Alter Ego Triple Cask Bourbon two sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
And we're going to have Harm tell us about the last one from Swenson.
Thank you, Bob. Doc Swenson, 15-year-old Kentucky straight bourbon, 53.6 ABV, 107.2% 107.2 proof. Mash bill is 78.5% corn, 13 rye, 8.5%.
This is the guy who's correct. You know, he's bringing, you know.
I can't read because I've been drinking. You made me drink.
Okay. Yeah.
You keep bringing me all these high proof whiskeys.
You guys are dumber than a box of hair.
I'm not even going to thank you today. Mm-hmm. When I say thank you, I mean thank you, Bob. Thank off.
You're a complete bastard and we'll hate you.
That's right. Deep copper color, warm, rich nose, sweet corn, honey, roasted peanuts, and cinnamon on the palate. A little brown sugar, a little light vanilla, nuttiness. Pretty long finish. This is the best of the Doc Swenson's I've had, and I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, tell me why I'm wrong, Brent.
Okay, I definitely think it's the best one of the three, for sure.
You're wrong, because I want my bourbon, my straight bourbon, to have a particular taste to it. I want it to be influenced by the corn, the barrel, the rye, the barley that's all in it, and this combination just is not working for me. So, I mean, it's where I don't know where they put it in the rickhouse, where it was aged, but it's I really love a lot of 15-year-old, 12-year-old, 18-year-old bourbons, and for this one, I'm not. It doesn't hit the park for me. It doesn't hit it in the park. So,
I agree with you, Brent. I think at any price, it misses the mark. I'd be concerned that it's quite a bit more expensive than the other two, being a 15-year-old. But I agree with you. I just found something off about it. I think it was there's an off-putting note. For me, I was hoping this would be the best of the three. Swensons.
I was so excited. Oh, 15-year bourbon.
Honestly, it was my least favorite of the Doc Swenson's.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I am surprised anymore.
There was something off in it. It just struck me as a off note. I won't say that it was corked or something, but I just had an off flavor that really tainted
my palate.
It
wasn't corked, but yeah.
I had a corked whiskey last night. It happened.
Yeah, okay.
Justin.
There was an off note in the spirit, but other than that, it wasn't bad.
It was great. Other than that, I'd give it a 5.
It wasn't obvious, right?
Not every expression is going to have all the classic. Bob,
you don't have
notes
you don't have some sort of sound for these knuckleheads over here. What's going on, man?
My biggest problem with it was all forward palate on the sip and all back palate on the swallow, but the mid palate was just empty.
It's hollow.
Okay. That was there was a hole there. That was my problem with it. And that happens. You know, I mean, that happens with, you know, the best producers. You get a barrel or two, and that's just how they come out. So
this is one that could have used some sherry finish.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be rating the Doc Swenson's 15-year Kentucky straight bourbon two sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
I think it was better than that, but, you know, whatever.
All right, so we're going to go to our next one. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is the Old Forester 117 Series 1910 Extra Old at 46.5% ABV or 93 proof. The third release of the 117 Limited Edition Series takes Old Forester standard 1910 Old Fine Whiskey, which is finished in a secondary barrel that was toasted and heavily charred, almost to the point of incineration, and leaves it in that cask for a full 18 months. In this
additional maturation. It is this additional maturation that gives it rise to its name, Extra Old. This is a beautiful color. It's a deep mahogany. It's got a lovely nose, lots of brown sugar, sugared pecans, even a hint of cocoa on the nose. The palate is lovely. It's just viscous. It's mouth coating. There's intense caramel, some baking spice, and definitely notes of dried tobacco. I really adore this whiskey. I think it's extremely well made. It's really like the old 1910 turned up to 11. The notes are really neat. I find the finish to really be special in that there's a lot of green apple that really just blasts your palate during the finish. That seems to go on and on. It's lessened a little bit as it sat in the glass, but early on when I initially poured it, it was a real green apple bomb on the finish. So I liked it. Harm, what'd you think?
I'm glad that you waited till I had some whiskey in my mouth to talk. So I almost inhaled that and just spit it all over the microphone. It's good.
Perfect.
More
at least the microphone will be disinfected from the high proof.
The high proof is perfect.
You notice the only microphone that I have that has anybody's name on it is his. Because nobody wants to get near that thing. So.
You. Well, I'm not going to say it out loud. Dark, I'm thinking. Just
look,
I'm
this
thinking.
Isn't the Romulan labor camp. I don't have to answer your questions. And I don't give a damn what you think.
Yeah.
Okay. Love it. Justin, then? We can move on to Justin?
So. Moving right along.
Let him talk.
Chocolate and pecans. It's beautiful. It's just intense. It's full of flavor. It's very dark and rich. The color is and the flavor matches that. I get a sweet tobacco pecan. There's a little stone fruit on the palate as well. That green apple acidity is there, but I don't really identify that as green apple. I don't know how to describe that finish. And it's not walnut. It's not pecan. It's something in the middle.
Jolly Rancher.
So if you like 1910 and you like it a little spicier and woodier, you're going to love this. And if you had this as part of the regular Old Forester release line, this would even beat 1920 Prohibition, which is outstanding.
I actually prefer 1910 to 1920.
That's fine.
That's why they make several in the series.
Yeah.
Have you ever made the 1915 where you mix them half and half?
That's yeah, people call it the 1915. Yeah,
that's good too. Brent would have
never had that. No, this is what I liked about this is that you can actually see the improvement of this by putting it in the secondary cask.
Oh yeah,
you know, so it just really amps it up. You know,
huge difference.
You know, and this is not a finished cask of any. And what this what really makes this nice is just
this is an alligator. And amps, it's an alligator char.
You know, so nice. So let's rate it and move on.
Yeah, I mean, I've drunk plenty of 1910, and
yeah,
and it's not my favorite of the whiskey row series. Excellent whiskey. I mean, if there's a bottle, 1920
is your favorite.
Yeah, 1920 is still my favorite.
You guys are just proofing.
No, the flavor hits for me. Right. This is, like Brent said, this shows you what a secondary cask finish can do to an already good whiskey. I mean, it was just dark brown sugar, and there was pecans in there, a little bit of chocolate. On the palate, there was that bit of dried tobacco note. I picked up some old leather, and then there was a sweetness either.
I'm getting black cherries.
I was getting either like a praline or like a maple syrup kind of on the back palate, way in the back.
I think you're right about that more so than cherries.
There's like a hint of black cherry, but I'm definitely praline. Yeah.
Yeah. You go to Costco, you get that big can of candied pralines. And
it's praline, but it's like leaning towards maple for me. Once I put some water in, it went right back to praline.
I don't get the maple,
but
whatever it is, it's good.
And again, on the finish, like Maury said, it's got that appley, green appley tartness to it. It's definitely got that on the finish. So, we're going to be rating the, Old Forester 117 series, 1910 extra old, a well-deserved forceps.
That's classified.
So let's go to our last one and God help us. We're gonna have Justin tell us about that one.
Heaven.
Oh my. Oh my, oh my.
Heaven Hill Heritage Collection.
Oh my.
17-year-old barrel proof Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. 78% corn, 10% rye, 12% malted barley, and it's 59.1% alcohol by volume. are 118.2 proof.
So it's a 17-year-old Heaven Hill. Can we have a just a moment here?
For I am a sinner in the hands of an angry God.
Pray.
Bloody Mary, full of vodka, blessed are you among cocktails. Pray for me now at the hour of my death, which I hope is soon. Amen.
Okay, you can go forward. Designed, we just need to say a word.
Designed to be an annual spring release, this first edition is made up of 28% 20-year-old barrels, 44% 19-year-old barrels, and 28% 17-year-old barrels pulled from Dietzville, Glencoe, Schenley, and Heaven Hill main campus warehouse locations.
Hold me back. Let me get in line for this release.
I know, right? This new Heaven...
I've already texted the supplier. I want this now.
My text got there before his text, but I don't have a liquor store, so I don't have a shot.
I've seen your house.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I have a shot.
He has a liquor store.
He just doesn't have a cash register. That's
yeah, he doesn't have a license to sell it yet.
I'm going to be drinking it and sharing. I'll be selling none of that. This new Heaven Hill Heritage Collection joins its more experimental counterpart, the Parker's Heritage Collection, to form the Heritage Collection. The Heaven Hill offering will be released in the spring, while Parker's will continue to be released every fall. This is a beautiful dark brown. The nose is complex.
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
It's complex, and when you're pulling bottles that are this old, you're taking a high risk of off notes and having it go sideways. It did none of that. This nose is sublime. It's almost got that old dusty library thing going on that people love who love older spirits. It has strong vanilla, oak flavors. It even has the spice that Brent likes. This is perfect. And the finish goes on for a really long time. What'd you think, Maury?
Well, it's hard to follow that.
I mean, look at all those adjectives you used. It was amazing.
I mean, he used a lot of $10 words. Justin.
It inspired Justin. I told you that the source we got for him for Christmas would come in here.
Oh, my God.
He used a lot of $10 words. You got his mileage out of that thesaurus. Justin, I'm proud of you. That is the most eloquent speech I've ever heard from you.
Is he running for office or something?
I concur. I mean, really,
is there a president of bourbon? Because I'll run.
It's a beautiful whiskey. It's complex. It's got layers. I think you could find all kinds of really interesting things if you peel back the layers. I love the viscosity. I love the mouthfeel. The color's gorgeous. It's nearly perfection in a glass. I would agree with you. So thank you for that commentary. Harm?
I take back the thank off, Bob. This is thank you. This is thank you for inviting me today. There's nothing else to say about this whiskey. It's fantastic.
Hold on. Let's close your eyes.
Yeah. Hello, this is M12. Finally back with another video. Today.
Yep. Wrong one.
Yep.
I tried.
We're going to pray.
Yeah. My angel sound.
Sweet tobacco, cinnamon, nutmeg, and chocolate. Oh, my God. So rich. So layers and layers of flavor.
I don't want to compare, but I'm going to compare. This is a 17. This is what they say is 17. So we got 17, 18, 20, you know, and we had a 15 year from, and it's hard not to compare when you have the two on the same show. It's completely different. I mean, these are, you know, this is what you want. This is everything you're wanting, looking for, where the other one was
zero off notes from the too much oak. It's not there.
No, exactly. So, I mean, it's.
The nose is sublime. The palate is huge, but not old in any sense of the imagination. It's not funky. It's not dusty. It's got just enough tannin. It didn't suck all the tannin out of the barrel, so it tastes like a carpenter shop floor. It's so well done. I mean, I'd like to talk about it more.
Modesty forbids my continuing.
There you go. It's just so extremely, woo! Extremely well done. What more can we say?
I'm really upset. Ricky Flair says the sample bottle is only 200 milliliters.
Get your hands off that damn bottle before I break it.
There's some left in it. It goes in my pocket.
Yeah, no. So we're going to be rating the Heaven Hill Heritage Collection 17-year-old barrel-proof Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey
five.
Oh my
sips.
Goodness.
Well deserved. Yes. Well deserved. Yes.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Yeah, thanks for dragging me in. It's always a pleasure.
Well, sometimes we do have to drag you. What can I say? Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another spectacular day in the basement, in spite of Brent's lack of pants.
Why wear pants?
I don't know what to tell you. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you so much. OMG.
Yeah, it's a good one to end on. I could have given you guys six different vodkas and ended on this and you'd be happy. Uh-huh. And all right, fine. Thank you, Harm.
Really? I really mean it this time, Bob. Thank you. Just for the last whiskey, though, or the last two. Everything else you've said about me today, thank off, Bob. Thank off. But this is all right.
You're a complete bastard and we'll hate it.
That's the way I feel.
All right. Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob. We thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
This is not a bad whiskey today. This one here. This age 17 years. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back. Join us for another episode. And keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.